Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Since it's Father's Day, I wanted to talk about the two dads I had. Now, it was the same man, but at his funeral, we found out there were two different people. You see, there were two children who eulogized my father, my eldest brother and my youngest sister. And the eldest brother and younger sister had very different views of the same man. And that was very logical because when my brother was born, my father was 28. When my sister was born, he was 44. So my eldest brother remembers a very young father. He remembers a strapping man who was doggedly determined in everything he did. One time he had a battle with the city of New York because they had drawn a district for public schools, and our house was on a line where we'd have to go to the further school, and Daddy didn't like that because he couldn't watch out for the five children, and he knew we'd have to cross a highway. This is before school buses, and so he fought the city of New York, and he won. He called for appointments. They wouldn't return his calls. So Bud recounts that he sat in the superintendent's office every day until she would see him. They redrew the district around our home. Buddy talks about one time there was a stray dog snarling and got in front of him as a little boy, and my father stood there and stared that dog down, and the dog ran away. And as Buddy was pontificating about this father, my sister's sitting there thinking, who's he talking about? And when she got up, she said, I remember a man with white hair and removable teeth. And where Buddy had a stern taskmaster as a father, we remember a man who was a little more indulgent. One day we were sitting around and teasing him, and my sister said something offhand about his age and his infirmity, and one of my brothers looked with horror, waiting for a smack, and instead Daddy laughed. And he said he would have never done that with us. You two are spoiled. And we said, no, we were just better children. And Daddy loved us better, that's why. But you know that over the years, we do change. We do develop. We change our outlook. I hope that our rough edges get sawn off over the years. But when I think of my father, I love this particular verse of scripture. It just jumped out at me, that the righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They're planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts. In old age, they still produce fruit. They are always green and full of sap. Now, that doesn't mean that they're sappy. Doesn't mean that they're indulgent. Green and full of sap means that you're vital. Means that long after your body gives out, long after you can stare down a vicious dog, you're still vital. Long after you've shuffled off this mortal coil, you are still vital. Vitality has nothing to do with physical strength. Vitality has nothing to do with economics. Vitality has to do with being a strong character and passing that on from generation to generation. Vitality has to do with righteousness. And righteousness, you notice I didn't say self-righteousness. Many people are self-righteous without being righteous. Righteousness is not about being a goody two-shoes. Righteousness is not about standing in church and singing. Righteousness isn't even about declaring what you believe. Many people can stand and declare what they believe. Righteousness is putting feet to what you believe. So when we say we believe in the Ten Commandments, then the feet are we actually do them and we obey. If we say we believe in Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we'd better on the street start acting like we believe that, which means that when we see injustice, we take a stand. We help the innocent. We love all. We are compassionate. But when somebody hurts us, we don't strike back. We'd be like Jesus. That's righteousness. I remember a lesson that my father gave that's indelibly printed on my brain. Now, it wasn't one of his lectures. He loved to lecture, and I loved to tune him out. It wasn't a lecture. One time, I watched him in action. It was a parable in action. Daddy was raised in a time when everybody was supposed to keep a stiff upper lip. If you were having trouble, you keep it to yourself. And that's how he raised us. He raised us to be self-sufficient, but he also raised us to have very little tolerance. Fortunately, we learned beyond that. But he had very little tolerance for people who had emotional difficulty. And he would say that over and over again. Well, my aunt had serious mental illness. She was bipolar, and one day she was staying with us for about a week because she just was unraveling in front of our eyes. And I was concerned because, you know, Dad had very little patience for this. And she was out on the porch sobbing. No particular reason. She had just gone out on our porch and she's sobbing, and I watched the stern man walk out and put his arms around her and hold her while she sobbed. Vitality means, too, that you allow the Spirit of God to change you. And he was so very fortunate that he lived long enough that God could saw off those rough edges. Do you want vitality? It's not what you're going to leave in material possessions that's going to make much of a difference. My father died 15 years ago. They were very generous with the kids. Each kid got some money. That's all spent. It was spent on good stuff, but it's all gone. The homes that my parents lived in, as lovely as they were, other people occupy them. Even some of the memories, that's not so much what I think about, but I think of the character that he has instilled, not only in his children, but for generations to come. After his memory is gone, his character will live. That's what vitality is all about. You want to be green and full of sap for however many years God gives us. You want to be vital, then we have to put our feet to our faith. And if we say we believe, then we act it. And God's promises for those who do that, they will be vital long after their bodies wear out and their memories fade. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that your power and grace can sustain us through every period of our lives. I thank you for the examples we have had of vitality. And I thank you, O Lord, that this righteousness comes not from ourselves, but from your Spirit whom we obey. And I ask that each and every one of us, until we draw our last breath, will be vital instruments of your grace and peace. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.